You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roto Experts Weekend Morning Show. I'm George Kurtz. Once again, Mike Blewett has his 9 a.m. nature calling. I mean, he's got the most, I think his bladder's on a schedule there, Pete.
Yeah, it might be. At least we know when he's going to go.
Yeah.
It prepares us.
He's consistent. Yeah. He is consistent. So, you know, Pete, you and I are hockey guys.
Yes.
Trade deadlines on Wednesday.
Yes.
You're a Ranger fan.
Mm-hmm. I am.
Do you want Kevin Shattenkirk?
I do. But as you were mentioning yesterday, the salary cap will be a huge issue. And to get Shattenkirk, we're probably going to have to get rid of a big forward. So that's kind of what concerns me. I think the forwards right now, I think we're in a good position. So I don't know if I agree with your position yesterday. I don't know if we want to wait. I think I'd rather wait till the end of the season, see how this year plays out before we start making moves. I just don't think it'd be wise to try to make a move before Wednesday for the Rangers.
Yeah, that would have been my next question. Do you want to pay the price it's going to take? Which I don't think it's as high a price as it was, because Shattenkirk seems either he wants to hit free agency or he wants to go to the Rangers, or both. Mm-hmm. You know, because he turned down a deal with the Edmonton Oilers before the season started.
Had plenty of deals that he could have taken, and he didn't.
So it lets you know that he either wants to go to free agency, you know, and maybe thinks he can make more money, whatever it is, or he has a team in mind, and some people are wondering, is that team the Rangers? But you're of the mind where you'd rather wait. You don't want to give up the prospect or draft picks for him.
Yeah, I don't. I've seen the Rangers give up so many draft picks and prospects before to try bring in talent, and it just backfires at them. I mean, it was in good spirits. I understand why they did it. For example, the whole Dan Boyle and Marty St. Louis kind of trade. I don't want to see them do the same thing again. I think we have a good core. I don't think we should be switching anything up too much right now, especially with only, 25, 30 games left in the season. That may be a little bit generous. I think we should stay with it and see what goes on, and then we try to sign Shattenkirk in the offseason.
Can't blame you for that. I honestly can't. I think the Rangers are a good team. I don't think Shattenkirk puts them over the top to compete with the Washington Capitals and the Pittsburgh Penguins of the world or several teams, good teams from the Western Conference. So let's go on to the next. Now, I don't think there are going to be too many big deals this by the deadline. Just not too many players available. Matt Duchene, Gabriel Landeskog, do you think they get moved by Wednesday? And if you do, to whom?
You know, I think Colorado needs to make these moves if they really want to try to rebuild. Duchene and Landeskog are probably going to be the only ones on their team that would give them points. So if they do move them, it would be a rebuild for them. I do want to see them move. If they move, I can see them maybe going to Arizona. I know they kind of need that offensive potential. And then also, I will go bottom of the barrel here. I'm thinking maybe a Carolina or a Detroit.
Detroit is interesting. They could really use someone like Duchene because they need something. You know, Datsyuk's gone. Lidstrom retired a couple of years back. Zetterberg's not the same player he was. They could use a selling point, really, when you think about it. Someone that could sell a team around. Larkin really hasn't developed as well as they've hoped. That is interesting. I didn't really think about Detroit before, but they could definitely use that. I think what you're going to see with Colorado is I don't think they're going to move. Maybe they'll move Landeskog. I don't think they move Duchene by the deadline. I think Duchene's going to be before the draft when all the teams, because the three teams you just mentioned, and I agree with you, Detroit, Carolina, Arizona, are all out of it.
Yeah.
They're not really in contention for a playoff spot this season, so I wonder if, because of that, you know, they'll wait to get all these teams involved. And with those three teams are going to be, they're going to be paying attention to selling out. So they may not have enough time to do this deal for Duchene, which will be a very complicated deal. So I wonder if that waits. Any other big deals that you think might come about?
You know what? The NHL as a whole this year, I feel, is very competitive. There's a lot of parity in it, except for maybe the three or four teams that are really at the bottom of the standings in each division. I honestly don't see anything huge coming up. It's going to be a surprise kind of thing. In Fantasy Basketball Weekly yesterday, Michael Florio and Frank Snaffle were saying, you know, we were talking about all these trades, and all of a sudden it was the ones that we didn't think were going to come that were the trades, and all this other talk was, you know, just kind of gone by the wind. So I think something's going to pop up out of surprise. I don't think it's anything that I'm kind of hoping for or predicting, but I really don't think a lot of teams are trying to move them because in every division you have a really tight race for the playoffs.
Yeah, I think of the other 30 NHL teams. Really, there are only two teams that are truly out of it, and that's Colorado and Arizona. Carolina, really, by trading Ron Hainsey the other day to Pittsburgh, which wasn't a huge deal, certainly not a fantasy deal worth talking about, probably signified their beginning to go in that direction, but they don't have many players to deal. I don't think Jeff Skinner is going anywhere. No one's going to really want Cam Ward. Goaltenders are really, really difficult to trade for any kind of value in the NHL.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like I said, I think it's going to be kind of a when I say quiet deadline, I think there'll be trades, but I don't think there are going to be many fantasy-worthy players that are going to be on the move.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's not. It's. I don't think anything big is going to happen unless, like I said, it's a surprise kind of deal that no one saw coming.
Agreed. No, as an Islander fan, that 7-0 game last night really didn't go over very well.
Yeah, that was kind of
7-0 last night, George.
Yeah. Hey, listen. If you're going to lose big, right? But it was annoying. Yeah. I spent the whole day. Yeah, I'm out in the yard. I'm doing leaves, and every yard work sucks. Right, it's backbreaking work. I get home, or I go inside, turn the game on, make some dinner. It's already 3-0. What's going on here? I could sit down, watch games, 3-0. It just ruins the whole night.
Yeah, that's a tough. That's not a good way to get the night started. So, in any event, well, I wish you nothing but the best for positive trade deadline moves for the Islanders and for your fantasy hockey team, George.
Thank you.
I wish I could contribute more than that. So, all I can do is wish you well. Something we talked about a little bit earlier, and for some reason I'm having a hard time pulling it up now. But I wanted to talk a little bit about some of these MLB over unders because I do find them to be kind of interesting to see how you think teams will play out. By the way, before I even get to that, I didn't realize yesterday. I just kind of doing research as you're. Before the show and going into the show, something I didn't realize, Miguel Cabrera got drilled yesterday after the Astros' Edison Frias allowed 3 straight homers. Miggy Cabrera gets drilled in a spring training game. That is not what I would have anticipated.
If I'm an Astros player, I am ticked off at my own pitcher.
It's such a stupid thing.
Because now you're going to get drilled. It may not come in that game. It may come in another spring training. It may come in the regular season game. But now you're gonna wear it because of your pitcher. Because your pitcher couldn't get an out. And he let 3 bombs. And I don't blame him. Because that's the way I was when I pitched as well. I'm going to drill somebody then. I got to protect my teammates. Right? Let them know I have their back. So I'm drilling somebody. And I'm not going to aim at the head or anything like that. And I never think there should be a headshot. But it's pretty much going from the butt on down. Because you're gonna get hit in the legs, and it's gonna hurt. And if I'm an Astros and I get hit, if I'm Bregman, if I'm George Springer, and I'm getting hit because you threw at somebody, because you gave it 3 home runs, not because of anything they did, as far as showing you up or anything like that, I'm annoyed. You get in the batter's box and you go get hit by the 95 mile per hour fastball. You let me know how it feels. Yeah, if I'm with the veterans on that team, I'm talking. I'm going to have a little chat with that pitcher.
Yeah. Giving up 3 home runs in a row, like, just do your job, dude. Like, just – it's not your job to start hitting people. Just don't give
Stop
up 3
putting
home
the ball
runs
on a tee for them.
Yeah, you can't
– And why are you hitting one of the best players in the game? You know they're going to retaliate.
That's right.
God.
That's right.
Stupidity.
Yeah, it's he's a protected class player. You know what I mean? It's not somebody that,
not some minor leaguer, not some single A player that nobody cares about.
Yeah, yeah. So in any event, so over unders. Let me get back to some of these that are listed here. So the Chicago Cubs are listed at 95.5 wins right now, George. Their season win total last year going into the year was 92.5. They obviously cruised past that. So at 95.5, their odds to win the World Series are actually longer this year. They're 4-1 versus 3-1 last year. Obviously, there's some Vegas play there. The people trying to get even money are trying to get money on both sides of the bet. But they lose Dexter Fowler at the top of the lineup. You think they still can cruise past 95.5 wins? It seems like it's pretty close to the number. Obviously, Vegas does the best job at that kind of stuff. But your thoughts? Do you think they'll go over on 95.5 wins?
I'll go to the over here. I mean, that's a whole lot of games against two teams we know have given up. Reds and Brewers. I mean, that's what, 38 games against those two teams? I mean, they might win 30 of them. That's a third of the wins. Well, 30% of the wins we need right there. So yeah, I'm going over here. Cardinals, they lost Reyes here, so they could have some rotation problems. Pirates don't seem to be the same kind of team here. Their own division's not as strong as it used to be. I'm going the over.
We have let's see, the Red Sox. I'm going to bounce around a little bit. Red Sox. We talked about the White Sox earlier at 68.5 wins. You like the under there? The Red Sox, the only team in the American League with a higher win total, is the Cleveland Indians at 93.5. The Red Sox are at 92.5 wins. You think the Red Sox get the job done at 92.5 wins?
92.5. You look at the Sox, okay, and I think they win the division. I do have them winning the American League East, so I'm going to have to go over as well. Although I think that's I don't feel great about it. I feel good about it, but not great about it. I might worry about the rotation a little bit. Yeah, but other than that, I mean, you look at this team. Where's the weakness of Boston? And really, just look at where are they weak? Even without David Ortiz, this team is going to mash. They're going to score a ton of runs. I'm not worried about that. Maybe the back end of the rotation, Pramans, Wright, Eduardo Rodriguez. All right, I can see that. But they suffer an injury to Chris Sale or Price.
That's not terrible, though.
No,
it's not terrible. You got a couple of flyers in there. But, you know, you've even talked about Eddie Rodriguez is a little bit of a shot, but he could have that. He could have that breakout type of season, you know, or at least hit some of the consistency that you've been hoping for.
I think as long as Sale and Price stay healthy, and Porcello to a lesser extent, they'll be fine no matter what else happens here. I'm gonna go the over, not massively over, but I'll go the over.
How about the Indians at 93.5?
Yeah, I got to go over there. I think they are the best team in the American League. The division once again, not the greatest. There's no other team really close to them. When you think about it, I mean, Kansas City, we've talked about them, I think, with Matt Modica about, you know, they have a whole bunch of free agents. If things don't go well for KC in the early going, boy, that could be a fire sale about what's going on there. That's what that organization has to do. They're a small market. They can't automatically assume they're going to contend year after year and sign all these guys so they can move on here. But you just look at the Indians, Kluber. And, you know, baseball, you look at the starting pitching. It's like quarterback in football, baseball, it's starting pitching. Kluber, Carrasco, Salazar. You got Tomlin, Bauer, so you're deep there. We know the bullpen is good, really good. Cody Allen, Andrew Miller, they can hit. You know, what if Yan Gomes bounces back? Santana can hit Kipnis, Jose Ramirez, Lindor, Francisco Lindor, everybody loves him. They signed Edwin and Encarnacion. Brantley's coming back. What's not to like? Over.
I think that's of the ones we've talked about, the teams we've talked about, that's the one I feel actually the best about. You get a little bit of a you could see a little bit of a hangover happening from the Cubs, and they lose Fowler. They're going to figure it out. Obviously, we talked about their options at the top of the lineup, and they're all fine options, right? And some are even great options. But you could see a little bit of a hangover. Maybe it's a little bit hard if they don't get pushed by the Cardinals. Maybe they cruise in around 94, 95 wins. They're still in the playoffs, and maybe they take their foot off the gas a little bit. With the Indians, even if they have that big lead, I think because of what happened last year, as you said, with the additions, in addition to the fact that they're going to be pushing hard as they can all year long to try to get back to where they were a year ago, and that was two games up in the World Series, I can see them easily clearing that 93.5. It's a big number. I'm not denying that. And one injury can impact it. But I could see the Indians really with triple-digit wins this year and, you know, pulling away from that division, not running away necessarily like the 10 games we mentioned at the top of the show. But that's the one I feel the best about of the ones that we've mentioned.
I probably feel best about the Cubs only because they have two teams in that division that are just done.
That's true. That is true. I think it's a good point. Let's see if I can find some other ones on here, George. But I'm struggling to find this list.
You should be able to find 26 others.
Yeah, I should be able to. You would think that I'd be good at Googling and whatever else it is that I do here to find my research. But I can't seem to find the stupid list. So I'm going to just bounce around to another article that I see here. Here we go. Dodgers. 91.5, the over-under for the Dodgers.
See, now that's a little tougher.
Yeah, it is.
Because the Dodgers...
Velma's right on the number.
Right. I don't look at them. That's why the half's there, right? I don't look at them as a great team. I mean, starting pitching is good. Maybe actually, it's great. Kershaw, we all know he's great. Can the back stay healthy? Rich Hill, he's getting, you know, he's found the fountain of youth. Keta Maeda, solid veteran pitcher there. Urias, is he going to take that next step to being a dominant starter? You got Kazmir, Ryu, Alex Woods. You got plenty of depth there. They can hit Gonzalez, Grandal. I have my doubts about Forsythe. I know a lot of people are big on him, but my doubts are mainly concerned about going league to league, changing leagues. That always concerns me. Justin Turner, who I think has played above his head. Corey Seager's a superstar. Jock Peterson, home run strikeout guy, but he got a little better than that. What can Puig do? Has he figured it out now? Sort of realized what kind of talents he has. I'm still going to go under, though. And by the way, I think I'm at 91 wins, actually. I'm going barely under. But I'm going to go.
That's
I'm
a tough one.
I'm going to take a slight.
That's probably one that you
here.
Would stay away from. Like if you were,
yes, I
if you
bet
were
it.
Making some selections, you wouldn't bet it. You would stay away from that one. So,
correct.
This is good. We'll come back. We'll do this with a few more teams, maybe the whole league, after the break. George and I, up until 10 o'clock. Welcome back. Just talking through some over-unders, trying to get George's take on teams. Now, well, frankly, I'll give mine as well. We've been through really the top of the league here. Well, let's stay with the National League for now. We have the Nationals at 91.5. I would in order to set it up, the Mets are right behind them at 89.5. So I think these lines are courtesy of Atlantis and Reno, Nevada. So if you see some slight variations in other areas, don't cry to me about it. Just going off of what I pulled up here on the old interwebs. So there you go. Nationals and Mets, 91.5, 89.5.
You know, should I be worried that the cameras are turning in here and I'm the only person here? I got a camera doing a 180 at me. Lights are blinking. Lights are coming on.
It's me controlling it from my home studio.
It's Cardano controlling it. And by the way, Mike, would it kill you to turn the heat on in here, Cardano? I mean, my God, it's cold.
I guarantee he's listening, and I think you're not going to get your request met.
No, well, I'll probably get it met in 40 minutes when I'm out of here. All right, Nationals, 91 wins. We said Mets 89. I like the Washington team. I mean, it's hard not to like the Washington team. Scherzer, I'm not concerned about the knuckle. All right, I get it. You know, I don't have no problem dropping him down a couple of slots, not rounds. You know, if you were taking him top 10, maybe now he's top 15. You know, just to cover yourself there, but I'm still drafting him. Strasburg, I fully admit, I don't know if he can stay healthy all season. I hope he can. You know, I'm willing to draft him. You know, he's a bottom tier 2 starting pitcher. I have no problem there. I'll take him. I'm a big Tanner Roark and Joe Rosca. I like them both, especially for where I can get him late in that draft. Late in your draft. And the current mock I'm doing, I did take Tanner Roark in, I think, round 11. Joe Ross is still there, round 15, 16 that we're in now. And I'll grab him eventually if he's still there. I think they both have, I guess, bright futures. Gio Gonzalez, don't trust him whatsoever. I'll stay away from him. I think Ryan Zimmerman's done. Matt Wieters should be interesting there. But once again, changing leagues. Daniel Murphy's fine. Rendon, fine. Turner, fine. Harper would not have paid what they paid for Eaton. I wonder if eventually, you know, I'm very surprised in this Eaton deal that Robertson didn't come over as well. Yeah, you know, I think they overpaid for him. I wonder why they couldn't have included something extra to get him there. So I wonder if that happens eventually. I'm gonna go the over on the win total. I don't feel great about it, but I'll take the over there. Mets at 89. All comes down to the pitching. I mean, really, it's all down to the pitching with the Mets. Can it stay healthy? If it does, they're gonna have a good season. If it doesn't, they could blow up real quick. Syndergaard should be fine. DeGrom, I'm not worried about. Everybody else, I am. You know, Harvey, no one knows what this thoracic outlet syndrome is going to do. And we're seeing that reflected in drafts. He's not being drafted. He's barely being drafted before double digits. So that's a top 120 player right now. Steven Matz has never been able to pitch a full season at any level. Not just the majors, any level. So let you know, Andre against him. Zach Wheeler, I fully believe, starts in extended spring training. So maybe we'll see him somewhere in May. I think the Mets have good depth. Yeah, Gesellman, Lugo, I think, are fine as far as, I was going to call them 6-7. They're really 5-7, I guess, with Wheeler slotted someplace in there. Hitting is going to be an issue. Love Cespedes. I think he can hit. I think he's a terrible fielder. I want the Mets to leave Conforto alone. This kid has to play every day. Don't platoon him already and make him that kind of player. He's a professional hitter. Let him hit. You said 89. I'm going to go under, though. I don't think that rotation can stay healthy.
So, yeah, the Nats over and the Mets under.
I might have Mets at like 88.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm going to go. I think I'll stay with you here because I do think the Nats will make one of the moves that you were talking about. I think bolster them. I do want to get to Strasburg for a second because you said you have no real issue taking. Let me just say I'm with you on the Nats. I think over the long haul, I think they will outdistance everybody else in this division. I think I have the exact. I think you and I are right in line on this. I think even if the Mets rotation stays relatively healthy, I think they're going to struggle at times. Offensively, for the reasons that you mentioned. We don't even know what's going to happen with the outfield. We don't know if Conforto's going to be in there. We don't know if Conforto gets in there, if it's going to, what's going to happen to him, if the same thing happens to him in 2017 that happened to him in 2016, where he's just that quadruple-A player. I do think you're right that the Mets have mismanaged him, and they just need him to stay in there and try to be that professional hitter every day. But, you know, you got a guy like Lucas Duda that gives you nothing for periods of the year. You got Neil Walker with back injuries, David Wright. If you put the over-under at 81 games, I would take the under. Do you know what I mean? So you got a lot of question marks with the lineup. Guys that are constantly hurt. I mean, George, we focus on the Mets' injured pitching staff. Look at the lineup. God, all these guys are hurt all the time. And now some of it isn't obvious. I'm not blaming it on the Mets, but there are issues all around between Wright and Walker and other guys. Jose Reyes is on this team as well.
Forget about Wright.
And Travis Darno.
Wright's a nothing. I mean, he's someone you're not worried about at this point. Lucas Duda's got the back injury. Walker, we know, is dealing with the back.
Travis Darno.
Hey, once again, another guy that's always hurt you can't rely on. That's why I didn't talk about the Mets offense. It's not that good anyway. You know, I'm not drafting any of these guys. You know, Duda, I guess, Mammy, you want to take a late shot in a corner infielder? He's going to have that 1 3-week stretch where he looks like Babe Ruth, and that's it. You know, so I'm not worried about him. You know, Wright, nobody wants anything to do with. Lord knows how many games he can play. And if he didn't have that long-term contract, he wouldn't be on the team. You know, so Neil Walker, he'll be great. He's a solid second base. I don't have any issues with him, especially if you wait at the position, you can get him late. He can stay healthy. That's 20 home runs coming. But the Mets, offensively, they're sort of a mess. You know, they didn't fix center field. They don't have a center fielder. You know, it's Juan Lagares, but he's, what, fifth on the depth chart there. You know, they're going to want to play Cespedes, Granderson, Bruce, Conforto, and that's Lagares. How this wasn't fixed in the offseason is beyond me, where you would have traded Granderson or Bruce. They wanted to trade Bruce, but nobody wanted him. Granderson had more value, but they still didn't move him. This is why I'm just afraid they're going to screw up Conforto. If I were the Mets, I would have non-tended Duda. I would not have given him a contract. You know, this way maybe you could have moved Bruce or even Conforto to first base. You know, I would have moved Bruce. You know, I would have worked that out, but they didn't. They kept everything status quo, and they sort of made it a mess now with Terry Collins.
I agree with that completely. I think first base is the most likely outcome for one of those guys, or seemed like it would be the best choice, but they hung to Lucas Duda. But anyway, so I'll go take the Mets. I think it is a slight under. I'm with you. I think we could be wrong on both of these picks by a game. But I will take the Nats over, and I will take the Mets under. I wanted to go back to Steven Strasburg for a minute because obviously the stats last year are good, 15-4, 3.6, a higher ERA than you would like. But the number one stat that we always talk about with him, or they're related, are games started in innings pitched, only 147 innings pitched. You're always going to have concerns about his health, but you said you actually don't have a real issue with taking him as a low-end starter too, right, if you happen to wait?
For where he's being drafted, starter. I mean, you can draft him in the fifth, sixth round. That's pretty good, you know. So I'm okay there. You know, the upside is there. I fully admit I have no idea if he's gonna be able to finish the season. You know, he gets hurt a lot, too much, for the kind of pitcher he is. You know, that's why we all criticized the Nationals back when he first came up, when they sat him down rather than go for it. You don't get too many chances to win here. You know, and pitchers get hurt anyway. I would have let him go. But you look at, you know, 147 innings last year, 127 the year before. Then he had 215, 183, 159 the year before that. So you just don't know. You just don't know what you're going to get from him. But that being said, I'll roll the dice. You know he's going to have more than a K per inning. You know he's going to have some wins with the Washington offense there. The ERA and the whip should be within line. He can help you win your fantasy league. Matter of fact, he can be one of the guys that actually wins you a fantasy league if this is the year he can go 200 innings again.
Right. So NFBC, average draft position right now for Strasburg. He is the 14th starting pitcher coming off the board, sandwiched in between David Price at 12 and Chris Archer at 13, right in front of Carlos Carrasco, Kyle Hendricks at 15 and 16. So probably edges a little bit higher than what you're talking about, George. But frankly, that's you know, there's a lot of flexibility when we're talking about just a three slots one way or the other. So we will see how that plays out. But an interesting guy. I tend to be risk averse when it comes to players that are oft injured. But as you said, if it works out, you've got yourself some really tremendous stats, especially in certain columns. You know, strikeouts last night, 183 last year, 183 strikeouts with a 1.1 whip. So you're getting big numbers out of him when he's on the hill.
He was 15-4. He was having a Cy Young year last year until he got until he suffered the injury. Actually, his injury history is the only reason you're not taking him in the second, third round. You know, he's not up there with the Syndergaards of the world because you just don't know. Last 2 years, he's only averaging about 135 innings. So that's a problem. You know, it's certainly a problem. You know, we certainly need more than that. You know, is he he's a gamble. He certainly is, because what if he throws on only 135 again? It doesn't have the numbers he had last year. The 15 wins, the 183 strikeouts. You have a 3.6, 1.1. What if those numbers are 10% worse? You know, then all of a sudden, you know, that fourth round pick you spent or fifth round pick you spent, not worth it. You know, so I get it why people are shying away from him. That being said, he's somebody that I won't. I'll take a shot at him because I'll hope that even if it doesn't pay off, that he will have put up, even if he doesn't stay healthy, that he will have put up the great numbers while he is healthy.
It's interesting, George, because you do talk about how you do not want to take a risk with those first couple of picks, but he is lasting late enough that that's the time that you're willing to take the risk in like round five. You can finally see in a particular draft that you have that you would be going through. You say, you know what, now's the time to take a risk. I've got my safe 3-4 players. I'm going to take a shot here with Strasburg.
Correct. You know, he's not being drafted in the first three rounds. He's generally drafted between rounds four, round five, round six, somewhere in there, depending on how many pitches are being taken off the board. And at that point, I'll take my chances. I don't want him as my SP1. Yeah, you know, I'll stay that fully. That's too much risk there. But if in the first two mocks I grabbed the Syndergaard in the second round both leagues, if I get Strasburg as my SP2 in round end of round four, top round five, I'm good with that.
One more team before the break. The Astros at 87.5. I switched leagues on you. So Astros at 87.5.
Astros at 87. How dare you switch leagues on me? Terrible. I can't trust you anymore. That division's got a whole lot tougher. You know, outside of the A's, the other teams are decent. I think even the Angels could be a little surprised this year. We know Texas is good. Seattle's good. So there are really no gimmies there outside of, like I said, the Angels there. The problem is, for Houston, I just don't trust that starting pitching. Keuchel admitted that he had some shoulder injuries last year. But still, even when that shoulder's healthy, he's a guy whose fastball is going to average around 89-90. That means he has to be perfect. If he's not perfect, he's going to get hit. You know, McCullers still waiting for him to take that next big step. McHugh, same thing. Not really an ace here. So it's hard for me to give you a lot of wins when you don't have an ace. It's a solid staff, but not an ace. They can hit. You know, that's where their wins are going to come from. But your hitting tends to go away at times. You struggle. 87, I'm going to go under.
They went 84-78 last year, so looking for a slight improvement, or Vegas expects a slight improvement. You're going under, huh? I think the point that you hit on about the other teams in the division is an interesting one, because it's something you have to weigh. Seattle obviously made some moves. Seattle finished in front of them last year at 86-76, and Texas ran away with it at 95 wins. I think we're going to disagree with you on this one, but I think that's real close. I think I'm splitting hairs here. If you told me the Astros were to win 86 games, I'd say yeah, but I'll give them 88 wins. I think they do maybe improve a little bit from last year. You know, I kind of like the bats. Obviously, they got a lot of talent there, starting with Jose Altuve. So I'll take the Astros and an over. And honestly, if you ask me a week from now, I might take the under because that one's really close for me. We'll take a quick break here. We'll keep going through this with Mike and George on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. George and I going through some MLB over-unders, trying to get a sense of how we see these teams shaking out for the 2017 season. George, I'll stay with the American League. Never mind. We already did the Blue Jays. I think you had the Blue Jays under. We'll go to the Rangers next. I have the Rangers listed here at 86.5. Your thoughts on the Rangers at 86.5? They won 95 games last year, so it's actually a significant kind of drop off from where they finished last season. So Rangers at 86.5.
Really surprised the Rangers didn't do a little bit more there at the closer position there. Sam Dyson scares the life out of me, but that's probably not where we should start with the team. Hamels, Darvish, Perez, Kashner, Griffin, same problem. And that starting pitching is going to scare me here. Not so much Hamels and Darvish, everyone after that. So that's an issue. I don't know if the bullpen's good enough to overcome that. They can hit. LaCroix, you know, they picked up Napoli. That's good. That's a lot
good
of
good lineup.
Right, it's a very good lineup. They don't really have a weakness. Odor built. People don't realize what a good season Elvis Andrews had last year for Texas. He's someone who's going very late at shortstop, and he's someone who can help your team. The outfield is deep as well. You know, we discussed this earlier. Joey Gallo really has no place to play here. Not that he deserves it, but even if they wanted to, there's no place to play him right now.
By the way, Anderson, 800 OPS, to your point, George. He hit 302 on the season, had a lot of hits, and, you know, not a ton of pop there, but that's not his game. He got on base a lot, so Elvis Andrews can help your team, as you said.
And people don't believe in him because he stays all – I'm thinking the mock draft I'm doing right now. This is Roto Experts mock. I think we're in round 15 or maybe 16 by now if someone's made a pick. But he's still there. Round 15, he's still there. Scott Angle's up. Come on, Scott. Let's go. Wake up. We need back-to-back picks here from Scott Angle. Elvis Andrews is still there. So he's somebody I might have to look at, especially with stolen bases, which I could use. 86, though. I'm going to go over. I think it's listen, I think the Astros, I think I said under, was 87.5. I really have them both. Really, all these teams in the 86 to 89 win range, including the Seattle Mariners whenever they come up here. I'll go over, though. 86 seems a little short for a team that won 95 last year.
Yeah, that would be a significant drop-off. I picked the Astros over. If I pick the Rangers over, I'm really going to have to take a hit on the other teams in the division. So I will actually go with over, too. That's a pretty big drop-off. I don't see them losing 10 more games than they lost a year ago. So I'll stick with the over on the Rangers. Let's flip-flop back to the National League. I'm going kind of down the line, best to worst. So we'll go with the Giants right here, which are at 87.5.
Giants, okay, so they sort of bulked up there. They fixed the closer situation. The Giants' huge problem last year was the bullpen. That bullpen was horrendous. It sucked for all intents and purposes. It was not very good. They had hoping Mark Blanton sort of puts everything back into place. No more San Diego Garcia. No more Sergio Romo. So they've done a lot of work on that bullpen there. Bumgarner, Cueto, Matt Moore, Samardzija, Kane, I'm not too big on, but it's a solid rotation, especially for that ballpark. You know, Posey, Bell, Panic, who Ray Flowers believes is a sleeper this year. What is a sleeper anyway? Eduardo Nunez, Crawford, not in love with it, don't hate it. Hunter Pence, when does he get hurt? The offense is average. It's so-so. It's all about the bullpen. What was the over-under there, Mike?
The over-under on the Giants was 87.5.
I think I went under on the Giants on Dodgers for 91.5, but I still have them winning the division. I think it's going to be close. I'm going to give San Fran a slight over. I mean, I say slight, I mean, Vegas has these things right on. Last half dozen you've given me now have been like really coin tosses here. I'll give a slight over.
I'll go with the slight under there. You gave me some. Here's the thing, though. With a rotation like that, you know, even with the guys with the question marks, if they work out, they're going to be really solid. It's going to be a really deep lineup. I know you've sort of talked about the Giants in the past, how they have nothing really to give, so making in-season maneuvers would be difficult for them because they don't have a farm system from which to draw any kind of prospects to make a move to put them over the top at a trading deadline or during a mid-season trade. So this is very much a team as what you see is what you get, right? There's probably not going to be many moving parts.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I don't think they have the farm system to go and get somebody big. You know, they don't have those kind of projects. If they did, they might have picked up that Andrew Miller last year or Chapman from the Yankees. They wanted them, didn't have the projects to go out and get them. So that could be an issue there. But this is a team that is not, they're not going to go away and melt and not be willing to bring on somebody. Oh. They will if the price is right.
Got it. So I'll give them a slide under. Melanson there is extremely helpful, as you said. It bolsters the bullpen in one sense while they lose them in the other. So we'll see how that goes. I want to pivot to some of the teams towards the bottom, on the bottom of the food chain here. I'm looking at the Padres, which are at 64.5.
Under.
I think you took you're taking the under.
I don't care what it
there
is.
All
under.
The way. Yeah. I had the A's here at 66.5. So these are slightly different from some of the lines I saw earlier, but the A's are set at 66.5.
It's so hard to lose 100 games, but if you're going to go under there, that's pretty much what you're going to say here.
It's 69-93 last year, so they're going to be conceivably 5 games worse than they were a year ago.
Are they going to trade Sonny Gray? That would certainly hurt. Sean Manet, it looks to be the real deal there. Their bullpen is, blah. Offense, blah. My God. Yeah, under. I mean, there's nothing here. Outside of Chris, fantasy-wise, outside of Chris Davis on offense, I mean, maybe you want to go Stephen Vogt as far as your catcher, but there's just Marcus Semien shortstop, I guess, is okay. There's not enough, not much here to like at all. I mean, really, this is a team that's big-time rebuilding under.
Got it. And one more before... maybe two more before we go to break. I have the Twins at 70.5. So that would represent a significant improvement, actually. Having won only 59 games last year, the Twins bumped up to 70.5 on the over-under. Your thoughts there?
Hey, Scott Engel must be listening to me. He just made his picks of Vincent Velasquez and Adrian Gonzalez in round 16. Too bad. I would have liked.
You like those picks?
I like Gonzalez. I was eyeing him for my next pick. Was looking at that. I might grab him because I need some power there. Velasquez, round 16 is a fine starting pitcher. Not somebody that was on my radar, but I have no issues with him. I just wasn't looking at him. But Agon's annoying. I was thinking about taking him from my utility. I've already got a CI. All right, Minnesota Twins. Where's the pitching? Seriously, where is it? Yeah, Matt Modica.
We talked about Ervin Santana a little bit yesterday. Matt Modica was saying that he thinks Ervin Santana is kind of underrated this year, but after that, what do you got?
Yeah, and he can think he's underrated all he wants. The numbers say he's blah. Gibson, blah. Yeah. Santiago, blah. Hughes, blah. Trevor May, they're all blah. You know, can Jose Berrios ever develop? Yeah, we're waiting now for what, 2 or 3 scenes for him, who was supposed to be a top prospect, hasn't done it. Bullpen's a mess. Glenn Perkins still out with injury. Lord knows if he'll ever come back. Sano, is he going to be the superstar? Is he going to be a star? He's going to be a good player. So we don't know. This looks like a DH waiting to happen.
I totally agree with you.
Let him hit. Just let him concentrate on hitting. He can't play third base. That's a garbage can at third base. What I mean by that is pretty much a hockey goalie at third base. He may knock the ball down, but he's not going to catch too many of them. Get him out of third base. Can't play the outfield either. Buxton, another top prospect, or what we thought was a top prospect. Is he going to develop? Max Kepler, same thing. I guess the big question right now, why aren't these prospects truly developing? I know Sano hit 25 home runs last year. I get it. But why aren't they developing into the players they were supposed to be? So I think that's an issue there for all three. The pitching's in shambles here. What's the over-under? I don't think it matters.
70.5.
Under.
You're definitely
all I need to hear is a 7. Yeah, under.
Yeah. So Miguel Sano last year, he hit .236, 25 homers, 66 RBIs, but a .319 on base, OPS .781. I mean, ultimately, I'm with you. The guy's 6'4", 260, George. There's not a lot of guys like
that. He's a line. He's a defensive end. He's a pass rushing defensive end playing third base.
There's nobody like that playing third base that with any kind of regularity and any kind of skill. So I think he's a guy that if he had to play in the infield, you would really want him to be at first base for being a big target. But I think he, as you said, he's a DH waiting to happen. I don't even think you need to wait. He's a DH now. Granted, they may not. They may want other options there at the moment. They have Vargas slotted at the DH, but I guarantee Sano plays a whole bunch of games there. So let's take a quick break right now, and we'll come back and do a few more of these before we hit the top of the hour and hand it over to Tony Cincotta and Cha-Cha with Fantasy Bagels. Welcome back. Micah George here till 10 o'clock, so it's our final segment. Thanks for listening this morning. Appreciate it. Coming up after this, it's Fantasy Bagels and Baseball with Tony Cincotta and Cha-Cha. Fan Rack, Fantasy Baseball with Al Melchior, the producers, with Pete, our very own Pete Considori, Chris Pavona. They're there from 1 to 3. They're going to talk about the Daytona 500, which is today. It'll actually be starting while they're on air. Then Fantasy Football Frenzy with Corey Parson. Fantasy Basketball Weekly with Mike Florio and Frank Stanfall. Weekend Fantasy Update with those same two guys and Joe Galina. Out of Bounds with Cardano and Friends, and then the Fantasy Footballers and with Andy Holloway, Mike Wright, and Jason Moore. So I would also say that the 2017 MLB Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package is out. So get your full season Fantasy Baseball Package for one low price of $29.95, beginning with our Deluxe Draft Package. George, it's your full season ticket to championship insights and advice, and it all begins with our comprehensive draft package, including your very own closers article, closer report. Available now and continuing throughout the regular season, guiding your run to a league title. So keep in mind, you'll constantly be updated with the Exclusive Edge package. You'll get completely sortable player projections and profiles for over 800 players, featuring our award-winning team of FSWA honorees, it's hard to say, and Hall of Famers, plus Fantasy Pros accuracy ranking standouts and improved cheat sheet tool and auction value generator, a complete suite of in-depth articles and rankings for all styles of play, including Roto and Head-to-Head and exclusive insider reports from around the majors. Go to rotoexperts.com and get your 2017 MLB Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package now. FSWA. I need to slow that one down, George. I keep tripping over it.
Yeah, we all need to slow down from time to time.
In any event, going back to some of these over-unders, what do we have? Oh, the Bravos. 71.5. I think I know which way this one is going for you.
I'm gonna go over here for the Bravos.
I think. Whoa! I didn't expect that. I thought you'd been bashing them. Maybe no. I'm getting it. Maybe I'm mixing it up with the Reds a little bit.
Oh God, dude.
This problem.
The Reds. I don't even need to hear the over under. I'll go under for the Reds. Okay. Yeah, the Braves, I think, are heading in the right direction. I don't know if I would have signed Cologne and Dickey if I were them, but I get it. If you needed placeholders until your younger pitchers are ready to come up. The Braves have a lot of young starters ready, that are going to be able to pitch there. Maybe not this year. Maybe it's next year. I think they want a decent team for their first season in the new ballpark. So I don't know what the name of this stadium is going to be, by the way. I don't care. I'll make up a name. Maybe I'm going to call it the Fulton County Stadium again, even though they probably don't even play in Fulton County. They signed Cologne. You signed Dickey. You traded for Garcia. So they're letting you know what they think. A lot of veterans going there. This team can hit more than you think. You know, Freddie Freeman had a fantastic year last year. You bring up Swanson. He's really not a great fantasy play, by the way. Phillips over at second base. Sort of a no-lose situation there. Cam Pettiver, he may be out of shape, or was out of shape, but he had a very good season last year in Seattle. This is not a team that's going to contend to beat the Nationals, or probably not even the Mets for that matter. They may be a dark horse for a wild card spot, definitely going over.
Okay. All right, good. So that's over on 71.5. Okay. So let's see. The next team that I'm going to look at. Oh, the Reds. I wanted you to go to the Reds just to make it a formality.
Under.
70.5.
Under.
How about the Brewers? 69.5.
Under. I don't think those two teams.
Marlins.
I don't think those two teams want to play. I want to win. I think
they're punting.
Right. That's completely punting.
They're punting.
There. Marlins are more interesting.
79.5 in the Marlins.
Listen, losing Jose Fernandez was a huge blow because now they don't have that ace. You know, now that pitching staff is really full of a whole bunch of, what, number threes? Maybe number fours? Conley, Chen, Valkes, Straley, Phelps. I mean, could Stanton stay healthy? Because the offense is going to have to carry this team. You know, Yelich, he is ready to make that next step. Maybe Ozuna, too, for that matter. Infield, you know, D. Gordon, outside of Gordon stealing some bases, nothing to crow home about. Realmuto is a very nice catcher, certainly a catcher one in fantasy-wise. 79.5. I think it's a transition year. I'm going under.
I'm with you on that one as well. There's enough question marks. You have the sale of the team hanging out there, which you never know how that can impact anybody. It might not have
any
impact
at all.
But, yeah, it will be in the long run. But if that transition happens sort of mid-season, players just not knowing exactly what the next steps are going to be, you get a little concerned about that. But in any event, I'll stick with you on the under on the Marlins. While it's close, you're talking about an improved Braves team. We've already talked about the Mets and the Nats battling it out for the title. You can see them slotting in, you know, just sort of competing with the Braves there for that number three slot. How about the Phillies at 65.5?
Phillies are another team that's on the way up. They were tanking for a while. Now they're on their way up. They've got some they've got players in place. Pitching staff, Nola, Hellickson, Velasquez, Eichhoff, Buchholz, once again, plays filler there, but it's an okay staff. They do play in a bandbox, so they're going to play some high-scoring games. I like Tommy Joseph at first base, corner infielder fantasy-wise, could hit 30-plus home runs. Franco at third base is one of those guys, I don't want to say he's all or nothing, but I hope he doesn't develop into that kind of play, but I am worried about that. Odubel Herrera in center field, another player I like. Michael Saunders, you're not going to get a fastball by the kid. 65.5, you said?
Yes.
I'm going over. I'm going to give over for Philadelphia here. Not massively over, but I think they can reach the 70-win mark.
Okay. I just stupidly closed the window that I was looking at. So here it is. Let me get it back. Okay. I'm sorry. The Phillies, I gave you the totally wrong number, George.
Oh,
I apologize.
That's
what 72.5.
See, it was too easy. I'm still going over. I think that's a much better number, obviously. I'm still going over. Mainly it's the pitching staff. I think they'll keep him in a lot of games. Maybe hit enough home runs to win some of those games. I think they could win between 72-75 games. I'm going to go over.
How about our very own Yankees? 83.5, George.
Because we're the Yankees. 83.5. The Yankees, once again, I guess there's two big questions with the Yankees. One is the pitching staff. Okay, I mean,
damn
it's,
right.
It's Tanaka,
a question mark.
Yeah, he has the option. He could opt out at the end of the season. Pineda, what can he do? You know, can he be a number two? Can he be number three? You know, can he stay healthy all season? Can he pitch well? Can he be consistent? Sabathia is really a who knows. Actually pitched pretty well last year. Can he do it again at his age, at his weight? I don't know. And then 3, 4, and 5 are going to be full of Chad Green, Mitchell, Cesar Severino. I guess you could say it's good depth because I think these old guys, any one of them could emerge. They could all bomb. You know, and then the second question is the youngsters. You know, can they contribute? Can Aaron Judge, if he plays, and once again, if he's 500, 600 at bat, he's going to hit 30-plus home runs. That's easy. Question is, can he do that without striking out 220 times and batting 230? That is what we don't know. You know, same thing with the other, Greg Bird. Can he handle the full time at first base and hit that 30?
By the way, George, if Judge is doing that, he's still in the lineup every day, even if he's striking out like that.
I don't know that.
If he's hitting,
that's the problem.
If he's hitting 35 homers?
Yeah, well, that's a given. You know, if he's he might only have 35 hits.
So, you're right.
Right. So he'll hit his home runs. I mean, the guy's a monster. I mean, he's an absolute monster at the plate. You know, he could literally hit a check swing home run. And that's not even a joke. I've seen that done in baseball. I mean, he is that strong. But if he's not hitting, then Aaron Hicks could get a shot, you know, to play out there. Because Hicks came on late last season. You don't want to turn Judge into a platoon player either. I was going to say Greg Bird. Can he handle first base? Can he hit 28 to 32 home runs? And once again, bat respectively. And can he overcome the shoulder injury? We don't know that. You know, Didi Gregorius, can he do it again, hit 20 home runs? Stalin Castro, can Chase Helly do anything? Same thing with Ellsbury and Gardner in the outfield. Too many question marks here. Just too many question marks. I'm going to go under 83.5. 500 team for me.
Depressed. depressing. The starting pitching question marks are real. It's difficult to have a lot of confidence in a team with that many question marks in the starting pitching staff, right? So we can talk all we want about the good young players that they have, but my heart says they'll be slightly over, and it's probably an 85-win team. I think Girardi did a really good job of managing the team last year, so I think they gut it out. But I think you're probably crazy to put a dime on a team with that many question marks and the pitching staff. So I'll bet with my heart and say over, but I wouldn't touch it. It's too close. So in any event, that's it. 3 hours up, 3 hours down. George, thank you very much, buddy.
Anytime, Mike. Good luck on your trip to Chicago.
Yeah, hopefully it's a little warmer than I anticipate. We'll be back here next Saturday at 7 a.m. Get ready for Fantasy Bagels and Baseball with Tony and Cha-Cha. Take care, folks. Thanks for listening.